celebrating? You're celebrating a holiday or maybe even a religious holiday? Are you celebrating a family tradition? That's this day for a lot of people. Are you celebrating Easter eggs in a basket filled with candy? Are you celebrating a bunny rabbit or a lamb? A rabbit or the Lamb of God? Are you celebrating the basis for your faith, a faith in which you firmly believe? I ask this, mention this, because I think this day asks all of those questions. Certainly, you could go through the day, as many do, most do, and never give those questions much thought at all. But the question still is there to be answered. What or who are you celebrating? The video we just watched is what someone imagined may have taken place between John and Peter after they had been to the empty tomb. Matthew 28 tells us that very early in the morning, on the day after the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and another Mary went to the tomb of Jesus so they could anoint his body with spices, a Jewish tradition. Upon arriving, they found the stone rolled away and an angel sitting on top of the stone. And we see this in Matthew 28. The angel told the woman, "Don't be afraid, because I know you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." The Bible tells us that women ran to the disciples and told them what had just happened. And then we see in John 23. After that, Peter and the other disciple was John, went out heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then, following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but it was folded up in a separate place by itself. The disciple who had reached the tomb first then also went in and saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. The disciples returned to the place where they were staying. And the race there, John outruns Peter. John was younger, so it makes sense he outran Peter and gets to the entrance of the tomb, and he looks in. But Peter, other scriptures tell us, he kind of rushes into the tomb. When Peter surveys the empty tomb, it says he saw the linen clothes lying there. The word for saw here means he saw them and he considered, what could this mean? What was he seeing? What exactly does all this mean? Luke 24 informs us that Peter then went home saying he wondered what happened. He's wondering and pondering all this. John, on the other hand, who reached the tomb first, also went in and saw and believed, but the word there for saw is a different word than what Peter used when Peter saw. John saw, it means he saw and understood the impact of what was happening, the evidence his eyes perceived, and he immediately believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. Later, of course, Peter would become completely convinced and highly and deeply influential in the early Christian church. And so I said this day, ask, where are you in your walk of faith? Are you a John or a Peter or a mix of both? We have our John days, and we mix in a little bit of Peter's response on occasion, that early morning, that dark, troubling morning that they went through. It may be why this day is so important. This day reminds us who and why we celebrate the resurrection Easter Sunday. This Sunday gives meaning and purpose to every other Sunday we gather. Without this Sunday, there really would be no purpose to gather other Sundays. Without this Sunday, there would be little or no purpose in life in reality. So on the cross, we know that Jesus made a proclamation. It is finished. It is finished. Today we celebrate what he said was and is true. It is finished. It is accomplished. You may have heard the word tetelestai, this time of year. I know years ago there was kind of a popular thing. Some churches put on a production called Tetelestai. It's a word the Apostle John used when he wrote the final words of Jesus on the cross. Tetelestai. It is finished. It means it's done. It's finished. Matthew describes what happens after Jesus cried out, Tetelestai. 27 and 15 following. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Wow. It's finished. To fully appreciate the significance of this, you must understand just what it is. What is the it that is finished? To start with, certainly, it was the cross. The finished work of the cross. The finished work of the cross accomplished several things, many things, really. The finished work of the cross proclaims the devil is defeated. Christ is victorious, death has lost its sting, and all hope is restored. This day we celebrate the finished work of the cross, the completion of the cross in the resurrection of Christ the Messiah. We celebrate an empty tomb and a resurrected Messiah, Jesus the Messiah. This day all the Old Testament promises of a Messiah fulfilled. Above all else, this day matters. Apostle Paul said it this way, very appropriate, 1 Corinthians 15 and following. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The really good news is that the resurrection of Christ has been proven. There have been those over the years that have studied deeply the resurrection and did he really raise from the dead, really just to prove that it didn't happen, only to find out that it did. Historically, it was proven. And Jesus is who he said it was, and Lee Strobel did a great job of that. It became believers after that because it's not just a biblical fact, thankfully it is, but an historical fact, that Christ is risen from the dead. So as followers of Christ, as believers in Christ, in reality, we are resurrection people. We have hope. We have nothing to fear. We live and move in victory. At least we should. Only we don't, not every day. When we're reminded about Christ's victory, remember his victory is our victory, and we're assured he's on our side. When we come around, we encourage, we rebound with hope. The problem is getting there, and once we're there, the other problem is staying there, living the resurrection life on a daily basis. I've said this before, but the truth is we celebrate Easter, but we live in a Good Friday world. A Good Friday is a day consumed with death. We celebrate the resurrection. We go back a couple days. Good Friday is consumed with death. Peter arrives after tomb, the day after the Sabbath, and he got there, but he was still living in a Good Friday world in his mind. Good Friday is a day of injustice. Good Friday is a day of evil and personified. Good Friday is a day Jesus spoke of him, and he said, the world hates him, and those that follow him, they will hate as well. You can't hide the ugliness of Good Friday. You can't explain it away either. If you study the brutality of the crucifixion, it's sheer horror. There's no explanation for why men would brutally beat a man with an inch of his life and then train so well only to hold back to extend his pain. Good Friday defines evil. Good Friday declares the existence of Satan and his demons. Good Friday removes the mask of evil. We live in a Good Friday world. We live in a fallen world. Our world is consumed with evil. Our world is filled with violence. Our world is abundant in injustice. And darkness still hates the light. We live in a Good Friday world, but we're Easter people. We're resurrection people. We have hope. Thank God for Easter. Thank God for the resurrection. Amen. precisely because it's Good Friday world, we will have our struggles. By faith, we need to move out of Good Friday and stay in Easter. And there's a way to accomplish that, but it depends on how we behave the other days of the week, especially one particular day. In our everyday world, we recognize certain days. For example, when we speak of Monday, we speak of Monday in a less than celebratory tone. I mean, Monday, yuck. Mondays are a hard start, right? If things aren't going well on Monday, we know why. It's Monday. That's all you got to say. Monday is the opposite of the weekend. The weekend, I mean, that's a different story. Most people, the weekend is great. I mean, it depends on your work schedule, but the weekend has this understanding. I got some time off. It's my time. Saturday's my day. Monday can be tough, but Monday, that's not the day we need to talk about, really. Saturday is. When you think about the Bible's account of what happened, what we call Holy Week, do you ever notice it doesn't say anything about Saturday? Saturday's there. It's right before Sunday. We see all these start last week in Palm Sunday and move forward through the week, Monday, Thursday. But Saturday, have you ever wondered what the disciples were doing on that Saturday? Saturday has a lot to do with where they were emotionally and mentally on Sunday. Certainly for the disciples, Saturday was a horrible day, a terrible day. Saturday finds all hope lost. The impossible had happened. The promised Messiah is dead. It wasn't a rumor. They saw it. They were witnesses. There were no denying it. Jesus was dead. A Saturday like that Saturday is a hard day to get through. Those Saturdays will destroy you. In a Good Friday world, we all have those Saturdays, if you will. Those days we struggle in our faith. Those days when we question what we've been taught, what we believed, Peter certainly did. The Saturday in life is where we don't want to go on. We're not sure we can go on. The Saturday in life is where our faith hits a wall. That's why it's so important what you do and what I do, what we do on the Saturdays of our life. We have an idea, at least what one disciple, perhaps two, did on that Saturday. We can tell by where they were at mentally Sunday. Max Lucado writes in his book, He Chose the Nails, he wrote, John didn't know on that Friday what you and I now know. He didn't know that Friday's tragedy would be Sunday's triumph. John would later confess that he did not yet understand from the Scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. John didn't know that Friday's tragedy would be Sunday's triumph. I've said many times over the years, we are so blessed that we stand on this side of the cross. We grew up in a world that already knows about the resurrection. We get it. We rejoice in it. We know it. Only choice was and is to believe. It's only when we keep our eyes on the resurrection, the promise, that we can get through the Saturdays in our life. Whatever John did on Saturday carried him through to Sunday. He didn't run. He stayed. And because he didn't run, he was around to see the Sunday miracle. We all wanted to run at one Saturday or another in our life. It's just a temptation. It's sometimes you have to stay. Sometimes you just have to hang in there because the Good Fridays of this world will bring the Saturdays of this world. The Saturdays are the days when the Good Fridays sink in. The Saturdays are the day of doubt. The Saturdays are the day we have to remember who Jesus was and is. And Jesus is the Father's answer to sin and decay in this Good Friday world. You go back out through the Scripture, go back in the Old Testament, the Israelites had gotten used to living, if you will, in a Good Friday world. They'd have been in Egyptian bondage so long that's all they knew. Generations had come and gone. Fear, doubt, and bondage. Children had been born and raised in bondage. And God knew it was time to bring them out of bondage. And he calls on Moses to be his servant. Moses comes across a burning bush and he meets God in it. And God tells Moses, go, set my people free. And Moses asks God basically two questions. Who am I and who are you? Got to understand, this wasn't a handful of people that were trapped somewhere and you're going to send a commando raid in to get them. This is well over 2 million Israelites in bondage, in captive, growing up under slavery, and the entire Egyptian economy rested on their slavery and bondage. Pull them out of there and all Egypt collapses. And Moses knew in and of himself he could never accomplish what God was asking of him. Good answer. We always need God. And Moses could not see how he could ever accomplish what God was asking of him, even though he desperately wanted the same thing God wanted. And Moses even struggled doing it with God's help. I mean, the first part, you know, I can't do this, Lord. I mean, I think God understood that. But the second part, not so much. Because God knows nothing is impossible with God. He wanted Moses to know that and to believe it too. Just like he wants you and me to know and believe that nothing is impossible with God. So as Moses steps out in faith, he grows in confidence in himself and in God. Just like you and I will when we step out in faith the times and the Saturdays of our life. Moses asked God, who am I and who are you? I mean, basically said, Lord, you're asking me to go and tell your Saturday people there's a new day coming. Who should I say said this thing when they asked your name? Who am I and who are you? Who should I say told me this when they asked your name? God had the perfect answer. Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. From the time of Moses to our generation, he still is the God I am. I am what you need in your Saturdays of this world. I am what you need, whatever you need. I am your answer. God was also telling Moses that he has been and shall continue to be. He's real. He exists. And when God said that early Israelites, he has to say to the Saturday Israelites as well. The powerful and glorious God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was and is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a dependable God, a trustworthy God, a faithful God. Even when it feels like a Saturday of doubt, he's still there. Even when the Saturdays of your life are real, when you're overwhelmed, he's still there. See, this day proves all that. He's still there. When you're somewhere between yesterday's tragedy and tomorrow's triumph, remind yourself that God is a resurrection God. Remind yourself that you are a resurrection child when you believe in the risen Christ. When you know Jesus Christ, you're an Easter person. John struggled. You know, we often think of Peter, and he denied Jesus three times in either trial. True enough, he did. But Scripture tells us that every disciple fled when Jesus was arrested. But in his struggle and fear, John stayed. Scripture tells us John took Jesus' mother into his home straight from the crucifixion. I mean, she stayed there from then on. Can you imagine the Saturday for John and Jesus' mother? It had to be the darkest day of their lives. The darkest day in all of history, for that matter. On the surface, it looked like Good Friday had won. John stuck it through, and he did. He was round to see Sunday's miracle. He had enough faith to at least run to the tomb and see, is this thing possible? When he was told the tomb was empty, he and John and Peter took off running. We said that when John saw the tomb was empty, he believed Jesus had risen. In that moment, his Good Friday world turned to a resurrection life. There are words that describe the aftermath of Good Friday, like hopeless, desperate, grieving, needy, broken, lost, forsaken, hurting, fearful. I mean, the list goes on. And we've looked briefly at Apostles John Wills this morning and a little bit about Peter. He chose to believe before and after the crucifixion and resurrection. But there's another person in the Gospels, one who missed an incredible opportunity. Very powerful individual. We don't really give him much thought. He missed several opportunities that would have changed his eternity. You know his name. It's Herod. So reading the Gospels this week, I know something revealing. When Jesus was arrested, he was eventually taken to Pilate, and Pilate sends him to Herod, and who would send Jesus back to Pilate. But I want to look for just a moment when Jesus was sent to Herod. I want to consider for a moment Luke 23. Now, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad. He had desired for a long time to see him because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Scripture said he desired for a long time to see him because he heard so many things about him, and he wanted to see some miracle done by him. Herod had heard about Jesus and doubtless had many opportunities to go see for himself. He never took the time to go see, never took the time to check it out firsthand. He missed so many opportunities that would have changed his eternity, changed his life. Herod chose to stay in that Good Friday world. We're all given the same opportunity to go see who Jesus is. To see him when we've accepted him, to see him and look and be reminded who he is on our tough Saturdays of this world. When we look close, we're reminded he is Lord and Savior. We find Jesus is the only one who can change our Good Friday world into an eternity of light and truth, holiness and beauty. Because Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When a Good Friday world produces a Saturday of fear and doubt, for you or I, God is still the great I am. He's more than able to meet every need you face to go look through life with you. And maybe one of the most incredible things about Easter Sunday is a reminder that God keeps his promises. He promises to change your world, promises to erase your sin. He promises you to bring peace in the midst of a fallen world. And briefly before we close, I want to look at one more thing we should consider this morning. Because we gloss over it, but it's so important. When Peter had his moments of confusion, perhaps even doubting, he didn't throw in the towel. He wondered what all this meant. He thought about it. You know, the Bible's full of admonitions to have faith, to believe. Jesus was known to chastise one for having a little faith. But that doesn't mean that God didn't understand. That doesn't mean that God doesn't understand our Good Friday world and our responses to it. God leaves room for our questions. He even leaves us clues along the way. Earlier I mentioned the two Marys that went to anoint Jesus at the tomb. When they arrived at the tomb, they found the tomb empty and the stone rolled away. They wondered, who's going to move this humongous stone? How's it going to happen? They get there and it's already rolled away. But you know, the Bible doesn't say the angel rolled the stone away and then Jesus walked out of the tomb. It doesn't say that. Angel informs a woman he'd come to visit the tomb. He's not here. He's risen. In fact, he's already gone on to Galilee. Jesus never had to wait for the stone to be moved. He wasn't knocking on the stone. Anybody there? When he saw the disciples later, he just appeared in the room. He wasn't bound by that stone. Imagine if the angel had just arrived and only sat on the stone. The woman showed up. He'd have been on the stone. He's not here. He's risen just as he said he would. Would the women have believed the angel? Would John and eventually Peter have a stronger faith to die for Jesus later without seeing the empty tomb? Maybe, but the reality is the stone needed to be moved not to let Jesus out, but to let us in. The angel told them, he is not here, he is risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. See, God leaves room for our doubt, but he also allows us to verify, look and see. It's empty. Take a look for yourself, verify yourself. This will help you believe, will help your faith. Looking and rechecking and being sure will help you on the Saturdays of your life in a Good Friday world. Of all the belief systems in the world, Christianity is the only one that insists that its truth must be founded on historical evidence of a person named Jesus, and that further, historically, he didn't said what he was going to do. He died and he rose again. It can be proven historically. It's the only faith in the world that can prove that. And so, this day, we celebrate. We celebrate the risen Christ. We celebrate the one who makes us right with God. As I said, this is a day that makes every other day good. This is a day that makes every Sunday good. Well, we should celebrate this day, and well, we have a lot to celebrate for. I invite the worship team to come forward. As they're coming forward, excuse me, the world that Jesus came to was dark and evil. In the midst of that darkness and evil, Christ brought light and good, holiness and truth. If you know Christ, he wants you to live for him and in him. He wants you to live a resurrected life. If you've never met Jesus Christ, you never accepted his finished work on the cross, today is the day. Never could be a better day. Today is the day you could have your personal tetelestai. It's finished. It's over with. Your sins are paid. If you've never met Christ, it's the day that you can allow him to cleanse you, bring hope in your life. Jesus cried out, tetelestai, it's finished. The finished work of the cross. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It's a reality of the ugliness of sin. When we look at the cross, there's a need for the cross because of our sin, but the need for the resurrection makes us whole. Wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ the Lord. And that's the real message we celebrate on Easter. Your sin, my sin, has been paid for. Salvation is here. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, this is your day to change your Good Friday world into a resurrection life. Jesus is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one enters heaven without the saving grace of the cross, the saving grace of Christ. Our world is not without redemption, and your life is not without redemption. Let's stand together this morning and worship our God. In a few moments, if you're thinking about Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward. But let's stand together this morning and worship our God once again.